I do want to thank you for a few moments, and we'll have a few helpers here as well in this message. Just think about living our legacy now together. There is something different in the air. It's October out there. I love the crisp air, don't you? Anybody? A few of you? You kind of know it's a new season when the air starts to change. There's kind of something different in the air here at 4C. We're looking forward to new seasons of ministry in this moment. And yet, that comes with a lightness of freedom, but it's not a freedom to do whatever we want. We're responsible before the Lord to be good stewards of what he's entrusted us with, not just the financial things, brothers and sisters, but the parts of our legacy that have been passed down to us through the course of the history of this church. I'm going to name three of them today: faith, generosity, and ministry. I believe these three things are the legacy that God wants us to receive and commit all the more to on this day. It's not just passed down to us from our church, but from the New Testament church itself. In fact, I'm going to look for a minute with you today at the churches of Macedonia that were really known for these things, three things. When I say Macedonia, I'm talking about the church of Thessalonica and the church of Philippians. And I want to think with you first about how God is faithful and how we need to walk with faith-filled feet. I want to learn from these churches in Macedonia how to believe what they did about God and how to live out the legacy that they had. These churches, just on a map real quick here, you'll notice this is Paul's second missionary journey. And at one point in this journey, in Acts 16 or so, he was here and he wanted to go down into this province of Asia, now part of modern-day Turkey. He really wanted to go down there and continue his ministry. But we're told in Acts 16 that he was kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And then in verse 10, there's a vision he has of someone in Macedonia over here where we have Philippi and Thessalonica. And he had a vision of a man saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And he took that from the Lord. In verse 10, it says, "We got ready at once, Paul and his team, to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." And I don't want you to miss the amount of faith that must have taken to totally change plans. I don't know if you've ever been in the midst of travel and have had to change plans. How many of you just really knocked that moment out of the park? Like, you're just great at changing plans in the middle of travel. Like, you had a vision for what a vacation or a work trip or a travel might look like, and all of a sudden, God closes the door and you got to do something totally new. That takes great faith. They had great faith and came over and ministered here in Philippi and Thessalonica. What they found there was a faithful God. You see, as they went obediently to what God had pointed out by faith, they found God meet them with his faithfulness. In fact, later on in his next journey, Paul would be in Asia. But you need to understand, the people that came to Christ, that became part of his team in these churches, the resources they would support him with would be strategic to his time in Asia. God closed the door there because they weren't ready yet to go there. They had to go this way first, and through that way, God would provide for them. But that took great faith. And so he writes, eventually, as he settles down in Corinth, he writes a letter back to Thessalonica, where he had been for a few weeks. And in that letter, he says that verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." See, Paul had just lived that out. He had to trust that God would be faithful in the midst of the change of plans, and God was, and God did it as he walked by faith. He writes to the church of Thessalonica in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, "We remember before our God and Lord Jesus Christ." Where did the rest of the words on that slide go? Oh my goodness. Let me read it to you here. It says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul remembered their work produced by faith. The things even early in the life of their church were things that were only done by faith. It's not surprising if you know how God works and how the scriptures declare the need for faith. Hebrews 11:6. Is without faith, it is impossible to please God. What God wants us to remember today is we can't just, look at life and think, what do we have and what can we do? We've got to look at God and think, what does God have? And what could God do if we trusted in him? The history of Forsey has been a history of walking by faith. Clark Forsey first came to this region in 1930 on a vacation with his family, and he began to get a vision for what it might be to be a difference maker among the difference makers of this city. It wasn't his plan before that vacation to serve in D.C., but God got a hold of his heart and changed his plans. And he came here with much faith, and God met him here 3 years later with his faithfulness. One of the first things Dr. Forsey said when he got on the radio, which was a work of God to provide him a channel on the radio in that time, his first message was about prayer. He said, there's no greater ministry than prayer. Prayer is an expression of faith. This church does not exist without faith in what God alone could do. As he prayed, it was a man from Haiti that had a tent-making business, a tent business that the Forseys found favor with because Mrs. Forsey had been raised in Haiti as a child of missionaries there. And so God had gone before them and even provided for their initial tent where they met in ways that they could have never planned, ways that they could have never envisioned. We have a strategic plan. We have some ideas. My friends, we need to pray that God does way more than that in ways beyond what we could have envisioned, and to be on the lookout for what God does. Now, it was after his 6 years of ministry, Dr. Forsey, that the next pastor came, John McNeil, and we don't talk about him too much because he kind of, well, something happened there, and the church went down pretty hard, and we don't really understand him to be the most faithful of men and pastors. But the next pastor that came after that, it says in our history that DeLoss Scott became pastor of the remnant who were left and to pick up the pieces. This ministry had shrunk from thousands to just 15 in the first meeting with Pastor Scott. And yet to these 15 people, his first message challenged them to, quote, have a vital interest in missions. There's 15 people in a room. How in the world are they going to think about missions when they're just trying to survive themselves? Well, I'm so glad they did by faith, right? And we support so many missionaries today. And within 15 years, they were supporting over 30 different missionaries. They knocked on 2,000 doors in the neighborhood in that first year. By faith, going into the community, and look what God did. Then in the early 60s, as was referenced earlier by somebody, the church was still in debt to an education building, and yet it needed to build a new sanctuary. How are you going to build a new sanctuary when you're still in debt? God led them to take a day and invite people to give sacrificially on a day. And on that day, people gave $45,000 in one day. That's the equivalent to what today would be $475,000 in one day. And they walked by faith and built that new sanctuary, broke ground a year later for a 900-seat sanctuary. And then 7 years after that was finished, God led them to relocate here in what's Silver Spring. And they left the sanctuary that they just built to go worship in a high school for 3 years. How many of you think thought that was a great idea when they first heard it? I don't fully know how God was leading through that time. Some of you might. But was God faithful? I mean, we're the fruit of that faith today. And people sacrificed a lot and trusted God for things that wouldn't have necessarily made sense at the time. Just like it wouldn't have made sense for Paul to go anywhere but Asia at the time. But God was faithful. And I remember we first sat down in 2023 or earlier to talk about taking a big swing at this loan. And there were a few of us just thinking about that. Could we really take a big swing at this? And what might God do? And we wondered, maybe $50,000 extra. Like, that'd be great if that came in. You know, God provided almost 50 times $50,000 extra. I mean, over 40 times $50,000 extra. I mean, he just met us with more faithfulness than we could have ever imagined. I want to invite Diane Weshey up to share a little bit about what she's observed of God's faithfulness through this time. Thank you, Diane.
Good morning. I want to take you back, as some others have done, to the time when the church began her building expansion and took on a large loan. I'd like to share how those difficult years revealed God's incredible faithfulness. Our leadership at the time, as you've been hearing, was full of great vision and encouraged us to walk by faith. A successful capital campaign happened, and then we took out a $5 million loan with a 30-year term. That seemed enormous to me. For someone like me, pretty practical, it was hard to wholeheartedly walk with that plan. Although Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Sometimes I find that a little difficult. Any of you? About 2 years later, our giving had fallen short of covering our expenses, including the loan payments. If the situation continued, we would have been insolvent within a year. It was a bit overwhelming. Leadership made painful decisions to reduce current church staff and hours. And one of our beloved leaders was diagnosed with cancer at this time. It felt as though the trials and pain would not end in that area of our life. From the beginning of the capital campaign and throughout these difficulties, people we loved steadily left the church. It further tested our faith, especially because then our tithes and offerings then declined when we really needed them the most. And then another round of staff reductions happened. Some of you are shaking your head remembering that. Yet in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, I don't know, but God knows. He alone possesses complete understanding, and he had a purpose. Even through hardship, ministry continued. The word was preached. We were sharing the gospel. Children were being taught about Jesus, and we were giving to our missionaries and supporting them. And so, though smaller, we remained a faithful body of believers, and God was not done with us. When the loan was to reset for the first time in 2017, likely at a higher interest rate, we launched a campaign to pay it down, and nearly $1 million was raised at that time, which was just astounding. So despite all our challenges, God's people just gave generously and sacrificially, as you've heard. When more recently we anticipated a second reset, Pastor Foster encouraged us to really go ahead and eliminate the loan entirely. Honestly, I thought Mike was a little bit crazy. And then the miracle happened. The funds were raised to pay off the entire loan more than 11 years before the initial term. Only God. Through every challenge, he proved himself trustworthy. We serve a faithful God who delights in blessing his people, and his faithfulness truly endures to all generations. Amen.
Thank you, Diane. God is faithful. God is also generous. And we can learn this from the Church of Macedonia, to give with generous hands. Philippians 4:14-15, Paul writes to them, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Even in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. What he's saying is, shortly after they came to faith in Christ, they are already looking to give and to help others and other churches to be planted through Paul's ministry. Later on in Philippians 4, he encouraged them, my God, in verse 19, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. What he's reminding them is, when we give ourselves to the Lord, God's going to provide for us through his glorious riches. He's the most generous one of all. Our God has been so generous with us, and that's what inspires us, out of gratefulness to him, to be generous with others. Let me read a little from 2 Corinthians 8. I want you to learn with me some lessons from the churches of Macedonia. That's who he's talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. As he writes to Corinth, he's raising up these churches of Macedonia as a model. He says, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. What do you see here? What do you learn about how they gave to the Lord? What do you see? Shout something out. Okay, they gave sacrificially. Even in a state of poverty, we're finding ways to be generous with others. What else? Joyful. It was joyful for them to share in God's work. In the midst of a trial, it was all by the what? grace of God. Go on in verses 3 and 4. I testify they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. What do you observe there? How do they give? Yeah, even beyond their ability. They saw it as a privilege. They gave more than they would have even thought they could. And yet God provided so thoroughly for them. Verse 5, lastly, they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God also to us. So what do you see here? Yeah, it's all for the Lord first, right? We give not for a building. We give not for a ministry. We give to the Lord. And this is just a way to honor and to bless the Lord. Later on, he describes God's generosity to them through Jesus Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was rich, he became poor for your sake, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. That's what I explained earlier, is that God, even leaving heaven, becoming, you know, man here in Jesus Christ on earth, dying on the cross for our sins, rising again. Why? So that we might be, through faith, rich in experiencing all of God's promises, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Not only that, my friends, through faith in Christ, we become the very temple of God. Don't be confused. These walls are not the temple of God. The Holy Spirit, when we trust in Christ, takes up residence in us. Raise your hand. You're the temple of God. God's Spirit is living in you. Why? Because God became poor, gave his life for us, that we could know the joy and the richness of having the indwelling Spirit in our lives and having our sins forgiven. So many have given sacrificially, as has already been highlighted. And I want to just, even trying to cut some things here to save some time. Even it just amazed me as throughout this season, it's not like everything else was put on hold. People were giving in all kinds of ways to all kinds of things to get ministry done. Helping Hand this year, $90,000 to our fund that goes just to help others that are down and out in time of need, all while doing this. Guys, only God could enable that kind of effort. Even today, you'll notice some t-shirts out there. You'll notice some food downstairs. That was just somebody saying, God's blessed me in this season. I want this celebration to be special. Is there anything that we can do to make it special? And that's just someone in our church saying, yep, I want to provide for these things to make that special. And that's the kind of thing that happens all the time around here. And that's only because of Jesus, right? Only because of Jesus. Is Bonnie Ballard around? She's probably busy. You want? Come on, Bonnie. Come on, come on, come on. Welcome, Bonnie. Jimmy and Bonnie have written this out. Please share with us, Bonnie.
Good. I'm glad you printed it. Because I'm an old lady and using technology is challenging for me. We first learned about sacrificial giving from a sweet old saint named Mary Ellen Stover. Both Jimmy and I had an incredible opportunity to serve alongside her in the church kitchen. Cooking, serving, and cleaning was always accompanied by laughing, sometimes crying, and even dancing when Devin wasn't looking. She made the work so enjoyable that we signed up for every opportunity to work alongside her and Don and Pam and Devin. They demonstrated the most practical ways what it looks like to use all your resources for the Lord. During the first building fund campaign, upon learning that we were business owners, Mary Ellen boldly asked if we would be willing for her to take a look at our books to see if she could help us find ways to give more. She shared that she had been a tax preparer for many years and discovered that lots of business owners missed opportunities to use their resources to the fullest. I'm not going to lie, we were taken aback by the request, but we were so impressed with her love for the Lord and his church that we said yes. It wasn't long before our reluctance was washed away by the steady stream of blessings that she found. She impressed on us the importance of serving with our finances, our time, and our passions, to see every good gift as a way of His building the eternal kingdom and not our own many kingdoms. And trusting Him with our finances, our time, and our passions was the safest investment, since it's all His anyway. We are living proof of her obedience and investment, part of her legacy here at 4C. Even as we serve in the kitchen today, we are evidence of the faith from generations of saints before us. What a gift. So we pass on to you what we've been taught: to hold our hands, our hearts, and our home and our business open to the Lord, so we can receive and pass on, share, bless, encourage, love, comfort, and tell His beautiful story of grace and love. We serve Him because He lets us. I'm still shocked that He does. We don't have to perform pretty or try harder to strive or get better or be better. We don't have to serve at all. Our salvation is not dependent on how well we use our resources for the kingdom. We serve from grateful hearts because He blesses us and invites us to bless others. We get to serve. It's a privilege, a joy, a gift that keeps giving. 10 years from now, who will be faithfully serving here because you invested in serving with them? We are building a legacy. Build with us. That's it.
Praise God. Lastly, we learn from these churches that God is loving, and there's a great legacy here at 4C of serving with a loving heart. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3 said, "Your labor prompted by love." Love is what fuels our service of Christ. Please understand that. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For Christ's love compels us. We're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died and should live for Him." If you're feeling a little out of gas, perhaps, in just serving, and please recognize, we're in different seasons of life, phases of life. Not everyone here was able to serve and give for all kinds of, you know, physical and financial reasons, and yet, even you all prayed and contributed in so many ways to what God does around here all the time. But those who can serve perhaps might feel like you're running low on fuel. Well, just remember, when your car runs out of gas, you can't just turn up the radio or turn on the windshield wipers and think it's going to work. You've got to go get the fuel. And when you kind of run out of energy to serve, you can't just go to a seminar and learn what your spiritual gift is. You've got to come back and remember how much God loves you. And you got to allow Him to show His love and to speak His love to you again. My friends, God loves each and every one of us, and knowing that is what motivates us and even qualifies us to serve in some way in ministry. It's just knowing God personally and knowing His love. And that's all of us in Christ are called to serve the Lord out of a love for Him. You know, as a pastor, my job and the job in Ephesians chapter 4 of pastors and leaders of the church is to equip the people for the works of ministry so that the body could grow. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. Which means we got to be careful about stages and offices. These kind of things can, you know, lead us, tempt us to think that there's only a few called to do the real work around here, and that is just not true at all. And I praise God, the legacy of 4C is so many hands and hearts serving the Lord, never just a few, and that continues today. Alan and Esther, could you come and share with us what that's looked like for you, and then we'll be wrapping up. Let's welcome them as they come.
Good morning. For a long time, we were the kind of Christians who wanted to serve in the background, serve in inverted commas. We just did the bare minimum, you know. We're faithfully attending church, we're paying our tithes, we even led a few people to Christ, but we were comfortable being served by others, you know. Am I gone?
Yeah.
We're supposed to do this together. She's just looking at me.
No. So,
So, okay, I could add, that's fine. It feels comfortable to be served, not so, but we felt at that point that maybe the people who were called to serve had to be maybe perfect, had to be confident, had to be spiritual, and all sorts of things. But one thing that actually struck us was during one of the
classes, membership.
During one of the membership classes, Pastor Mike Foster taught us about the importance of serving and how we can use our gifts for God's kingdom. We were reminded that each of us has been blessed with different gifts, and we need to use these gifts to serve others. One of the things, one of the scriptures during that class was from 1 Peter, I think chapter 4, verse 10. That struck home. We are not called to sit, but to serve.
Yeah, another thing that struck us was the analogy of the country club, and that perfectly described what we were. We're happy to, you know, just be members and be served. So during the same membership classes, we had the opportunity to do spiritual gifts, you know, assessment. And that helped us to identify areas in which we could serve. However, the devil was still at play in our lives. He kept reminding us of the fact that we're just jars of clay, like Paul calls us in 2 Corinthians. And we were not focusing on the treasure that was inside the jars of clay. We're focusing on our inadequacies. We're focusing on our insufficiencies, you know. But eventually we took, you know, first baby steps to serving. I remember Brother Omar telling me, you know, just stand outside there, hold the door and smile. And I was like, okay, that I can try, you know. That's, you know. So we took baby steps, you know, and started serving. And as we, do I go on?
I can go.
Okay.
So when we began to serve, good things started to happen. You know, the focus shifted from what we lacked, our insufficiencies, you know, our lack of confidence, our weaknesses, to who Christ is.
Yeah.
And we continue to grow our faith. That strengthened our faith in Christ, and even our bond, you know, with one another and as a Fosse family at large. And all this we've been able to do by His grace, because it's just enough.
So, what about you? How's God speaking to you when it comes to walking by faith, when it comes to generosity, and when it comes to serving? I encourage you, this is a time to think about that, to consider not just who you are, what you have, but who God is, how good He is, and what He's done for you. And then to consider to come and offer Him all the more of yourself. As we close, a few things. Number one, we have t-shirts out there, you might have noticed. Could you just hold that one up? Could you throw it up here to me? I meant to bring it up. And these t-shirts say staff on the back. And we want everyone to have one, because if you're here, a part of what Jesus is doing, and through 4C, we consider you part of the staff team in that way, all right? And so, now, when you wear this out in the community, you know, you can't be getting mad at people at the grocery store, guys. All right? You kind of got to live up to this calling as a servant of the Lord, all right? But I pray it's a good reminder that we're all a part of the team here that's called to serve the Lord. We all have a role to play. There should be enough out there for everybody. We didn't get children's sizes. Looking back on that, I'm like, huh, maybe you should have thought more about that. But anyway, because kids that know the Lord are used by Him all the time, right? So, but that's part of today. You're part of a team live up to your calling. So they'll be on tables out there, down the hallway toward the gym and down the hallway toward the school. Both tables have the same shirts on them. Just pick a direction to go and grab one either on your way down to lunch or on your way up. Might want to wait till your way up to have less traffic out there, but those shirts are there. When you get downstairs for lunch today, at your table, you will notice a few things. There'll be a stone that says legacy on it. And then there'll be a card here. And on one side of the card, it's going to invite you to tell your story about a time when you experienced faith, generosity, or ministry at 4C. On the other side of the card, it's going to invite you to think about a way in which you will live out with more faith, generosity, or ministry, and to commit to doing that in a specific way. And then at your table, listen, guy, listen. At your table, I want you, sometime during lunch, to take that stone, pass it around the table, let each person hold it, and share about what part of this legacy they want to step into. Faith, generosity, ministry. Basically, share what God's speaking to you about today. And if you're not sure, you can say, I'm not sure, but I'm going to be praying about what God wants me to learn from him today. All right, so it's kind of a time of passing the stone and sharing. Then we're going to ask someone at that table to be responsible to get that stone into this jar, because those legacy stones are going to remind us of some of the things we talked about and committed to today in our Thanksgiving jar. Everybody got that? I know it's lunchtime, right? But so even some of our ministry leaders and elders, trustees might spread out at the tables down there and help to lead a table in this kind of conversation. But that's the goal for lunch. Pass the stone around and share something of what you're writing on this card. Lunch will start right after we finish with our closing song. Consider Pastor Lonnie's closing prayer to be the blessing for food. And so you may go down and you may begin to eat. And then after lunch, we'll come back up here for our annual meeting. I forget what the official start time is for that. 1:30 is the official start time. So by 1:15, you want to be making your way in here for the annual meeting. Think 1:15, all right, for the annual meeting. But let me just pray and take a moment with the Lord before you now. Now, Father, I just want to thank you for what we've celebrated today, but also for how you've spoken to us, Lord, and the lessons we can learn from our legacy. And I pray, Lord, that today, but even throughout the season to come, as we continue to reflect on this in coming months, that you will speak to our hearts and we'll begin to think about, Lord, how we can honor you with our own offering, with our own sacrifice of service to you, God, for you are worthy. And Father, I just pray to stir up a great response from your people to who you are, God. And Father, even now in this moment, help us to just grab on to something that you've shared and just invite you to seal it in our hearts today, God, that we would be a responsive people. Father, we give you praise, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen.